We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Let's get into the offense, Sean, because it's interesting. I've had some people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, so-and-so said that the offense, defense dominated and all this. And I'm like, you know, yeah, the defense won the scrimmage, but I don't think this was a thing where the defense dominated. I really felt like both sides of the ball had good days. And one thing that you and I discussed as we're walking out of the stadium after the practice was, boy, if this offense can compete like this on a consistent basis as they get – certain guys back, you get Riley Leonard back, and you get Bo Collins is able to line up, and and Micah Gilbert and Cam Williams get even more experience under their belt, and you get Jaden Harrison back, and another guy we forgot to mention earlier in the show, Jordan Faison.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you don't even have Jordan Faison today either. I completely forgot to mention Jordan Faison. Not intentional at all.
Yeah.
You get Mitchell Evans back. So there's a lot to be excited about. The biggest thing, Sean, for me is this. This group competed, and we'll kind of talk first and foremost about the offensive line, because I think that unit was sort of the most symbolic of the day for the offense. Because did the defensive line win the battle against the offensive line? Absolutely. They absolutely did. But my two responses to that are, number one is they should have, because this is a young offensive line that's learning, and you're going against a bunch of fifth and sixth year seniors that are really good. But the other one is they didn't dominate because the offensive line didn't compete. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, we saw this offensive line battle. And, yeah, they got to clean up footwork. They got to be more assignment correct. They got to get better in pass pro. But they will. You know, you have a guy in his second semester of college at left tackle. You have a sophomore at center, a sophomore at right guard. And, you know, you're still a young unit that has started a grand total of one game together. If the defensive line didn't win this battle today, I'd be very concerned. But what I like, Sean, is this as a whole, this unit compete, this offense competed. That's something we saw from Mike Denbrock today. And the O-line was indicative of that. But even just more so, before we get into that, actually, I do want to talk big picture. That's something I was happy to see today. They move with more of an aggressive tempo throughout the practice. They do. I don't want to say specifics, but there's things they do with the receivers that you're like, okay, this is a team that understands there need to be times when we can move, we can put pressure on this defense with matchups and tempo, right? Those are important things. And so I loved the compete level that we saw from this offense today. And as you saw, I'm not shocked at all that the defense counterpunched when they gave up a play. We know this team can do that. We've seen this group do that. You know Al Golden's defense is going to do that. What I'm happy by is that the offense counterpunched today. Mm-hmm. That's what would have been my concern. And to see them do that without their starting quarterback, without Jaden Thomas, without Jordan Faison, without Mitch Evans, without Bo Collins, without Jaden Harrison, to see them do that today, no Kedron Young, to see them do that without those guys is indicative of Mike Denbrock's not just taking a bunch of talent and fitting an offense around and calling plays. Mike Denbrock's trying to establish an identity. And I've said a million times, identity isn't how much you run versus how much you pass. It's not do you use 11 personnel this much or 12 personnel this much. It's how you go about your business every single day. And yes, the defense won today's scrimmage. But you're seeing that Mike Denbrock and Joe Rudolph and Dylan McCullough and Mike Brown and Gino Gattuli, they all have a role in that. But Denbrock's the leader of that group. He gets the blame when it doesn't go right, and he should get the credit when it does. Even though today wasn't a win for the offense, it was a win for the offense, in my opinion, in that we saw a group that's going to compete, a very young group that's going to compete. They're going to battle. And also, Sean, we saw a unit that flat out has some really young dudes. I mean, playmakers. And as they get older and this thing starts to come together, you're going to be excited about what this group can do, Sean, because the talent of on offense and the compete level on offense are the two things more than anything that stood out to me today about why I'm more excited today about this offense than I was when I woke up this morning. I'm just going to, from what I saw today, even though the defense won the scrimmage.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because you have the two pick sixes. This is, because I want to go back to what you said initially. People said the defense dominated. The offense was in position to put up and gain points. Because they were tallying different things to come to the final score. Turnovers, all of that, different things, stops. Offense was in position to put up 40-plus points. They moved the ball to the point, and they had a missed field goal in there as well that we could talk about.
Yeah, they had their moments. Yeah, yeah. They moved the ball. So now, part of that, too, Sean, is like one drive, they had those series where they started the ball at the 50.
Right.
And they had drives where they started going
at the
in.
Five. Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah,
the way they did it is like they had a base drive. Like, the way they set up the scrimmage is they went, you know, first and second groups started their own 35, normal series.
Yeah.
Then the next series was backed up at their own five. Then the next series was starting at the 40 going in, right? So there were like, I think that was where one of the touchdowns came was, but that's going to happen in the game, right? I mean, we saw that against Clemson last year. You know, drive starts at the 41-yard line. So that is part of it too, is that, but even that though, there was the drive on the pick six where they started their own five, but they had driven well in. I mean, they were,
well into, yeah.
If they weren't in field goal range, they were close to field goal range.
No, they were at the that
so they had their moments where they threw the football.
It was officially started at the 26.
Right.
When he threw the pick six.
Right.
They were the opponent's 26. So that's what we're saying. They had moved the ball 60 plus yards up until that point. My point is the environment around this team is more on a consistent basis, an environment that they're going to feel and see in a big game against a big time opponent.
Right.
You're going to lose certain parts of that game. How do you respond? You have to have the ability defensively and offensively to counterpunch. Now, they don't have to play a perfect game offensively to put up 40 points, to put up the high 30s against good defenses. They have that capability. They have the playmakers to make chunk plays and come back from double-digit deficits, things of that nature. Whereas you got down double digits, you felt like, oh, man, that takes the running game away. Now we're in trouble. You don't feel that way now.
Right.
With this offense. And that's something that's going to be very beneficial as they become more acclimated going into the fall with what Mike Denbrock is trying to establish as an identity, as you talked about. What did he talk about? Get used to making big plays.
Right.
This is what we're going to do.
Third and 11 means nothing for us. We can go for 30 at any point in time.
Absolutely. Right?
Anytime I get the ball in Jeremiah Love or Jadarian Price's hands, they can go for 20 or 30. So I don't mind giving them the ball in some situation on third and 11. Jaden Greathouse can beat anybody at any point in time. So I don't mind, you know, getting him the ball maybe on a quick throw on. Like there was one play, it was like second and long, and they threw a little hitch route to Chris Mitchell, and he makes one guy miss and picks up the first down. That happened with K.K. Smith. You know, so like we talked about this, Sean. We saw an offense much, much more willing to steal yards today. And, hey, you know what? If that hitch is there, take the hitch. Boom, hit it. Let those receivers go out there and make plays. If they don't, you catch the ball for 4, 5, 6 yards. If they do, you make one guy miss. Next thing you know, Chris Mitchell's longest gain of the day today was a 20-yard gain. And he caught the ball 5 yards down the field.
Yeah. It's much more stressful. Goes back to what you talked about, the defense on the back end in the film with the linebackers that's going to be watched. This defense is being stressed a lot more.
That's right.
On a play-by-play basis than they were in the previous two springs. And that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
They need those reps because that's more favorable to what they're going to feel and see against big-time opponents and big games going into the playoffs. So you talk about this offense, you could talk about people say they got dominated. Dude, this is an offense that's going to stress defenses. Yeah.
They lost the scrimmage. They did not get dominated.
No, they turned. Right. They gave away opportunities.
Right.
to put points on
now,
the board.
And sometimes the defense made those opportunities.
Absolutely.
But that's what a great defense does. And, yeah. and you've said this multiple times today, Sean. That's and this was the heart of what Marcus Freeman's comment was that I read earlier. It's these guys being able to go against that defense every day is going to make them so much better. They won't play a more complex defense this season than what Al Golden throws at them. They won't play a group of cornerbacks in the regular season better than what they're going to face every single day in practice. That includes when Benjamin Morris is not out there and it's just Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey. It includes that. I don't know that there's a cornerback tandem better than those two.
I think Florida State will have a pretty decent combination.
Yeah, but they're kids that didn't – I mean, they're young guys stepping in or guys transferring in. It's not the dudes that we've seen for them, right?
Right.
And so it's going to – they're definitely not – I'll tell you this. Until they maybe play Michigan in the playoff, they're not going to face a better D tackle tandem than the dudes they played today either. And Riley Mills and Howard Cross they play every day. No. So yes, the defense won the scrimmage. There's no doubt. I mean, but as you mentioned though, it wasn't like the offense didn't have chances to do so. And I'd have been very curious, like if the first pick six doesn't end in a pick six and it's just a broken up play and you kick a field goal instead of the pick six, if Steve Angeli doesn't throw an interception on that last series inside the 15-yard line,
right?
You know what I mean? Like maybe this is different. And that's the point is it's not a moral victory. You lost, but it's as a coach in a practice, because this isn't a game. This isn't a, you either win or you lose. And it doesn't matter if you win or, you know, it doesn't matter if you played well, you still lost. This is a different setting than that. This is still a coaching situation. This is still a teaching situation. This is still a building situation, which is different than a game. Because at the end of the day, Sean, if Notre Dame goes out and plays Texas A&M, and they battle and compete, and they played hard, and all the things we've said about both sides, and they still lose, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they played – they lost.
Yeah.
Today's a little bit different. Today's still part of that building process. And that's why I'm focusing on this, because I am encouraged by the compete level of the offense. Because this is what I'll say to you. I was an offensive coach in college, right? Played quarterback, played receiver in college, coached quarterbacks, running backs, receivers in college, right? For over a decade, I was in the college game. And I'll tell you this right now, and having studied, you know, having covered this team for over a decade, I think this is going on 13th or 14th season for me doing this. When you are going out of practice and your focus is on, I got to clean up the technique here. I've got to clean up the reads here. You know, if I'm talking about Steve Angeli who in his pick six, I'm actually not super upset about the pick six, to be honest with you. I'm upset about the process that led to it, but it's a correctable mistake. I mean, I could use it to bang, oh, Steve, because everybody knows I don't think Steve's a championship quarterback. Everybody knows I think he's the fourth most talented quarterback in this roster. I could use today's performance to crush the kid. And we're going to be very critical of his play. But this is why he can't. No, he made a bad read. It's correctable. But the compete level was there. That doesn't negate some of the plays he made at other times. Kenny threw a pick six today. There was a miscommunication between him and the tight end. But the compete level was there. You know, that was before, I believe, if I'm going to go back and look on this, I believe that was before he led them to a touchdown drive, I believe. No, it was before. It was before. Yeah, it was before. So, I mean, you kind of look at it, and it's just those things, Sean, where, yes, they have to clean things up on the offensive line. Yes, the quarterbacks can't have three interceptions in any situation. I don't care, practice or not. You've got to compete harder for the football. That's the one non-compete thing that I saw today. Outside of that, they competed, and everything that now needs to get fixed is all coaching. It's all correctable. And it's the thing I've always said. If I have to put my foot up your butt to get you to play harder and compete more and have more pride in what you do, we have a problem. If I'm Mike Brown and my only issue is going in, look, these guys got to do a better job. When I say competing for the football, it's a technical thing. It's not like they necessarily gave up on the play. They didn't utilize the proper technique to compete for the football. it offensive line. If I'm Joe Rudolph, I'm like, dude, there's a lot I got to clean up today. Man, we got to work on our edge pass sets. We got to work on moving our feet through contact. But you know what Joe Rudolph's not doing in his office today? These kids don't compete. These kids don't battle. They got punched in the mouth today, and they folded. That is not going to be something Joe Rudolph's going to say about his group today. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing, because it's just practice 11 with a young unit that started one game together. And that's the thing that I'm encouraged by. It, you know, is Gino Gadulli going to go to his home tonight and tell him, boy, my guys played great today. I couldn't be happier. No, he's not. He's going to be probably a little bit annoyed about the execution of it. But they competed. You know, Steve, that the pick six was early. Steve led them on a couple drives after the pick six. It didn't snowball into overall more bad plays, right? I mean, there's a compete level there. He didn't play well at all. But did you at any point in time think, oh, Steve doesn't want to be out here. Steve doesn't want to compete today. No, that wasn't it at all.
He came back and made plays.
Exactly. And that's the thing I liked from the offense today, Sean, is there's a lot of things that we're going to have to clean up here if you're an offensive coach at Notre Dame. But the one thing you're happy about is my guys competed today. I can work with that. If you're a coach worth a darn, you can work with that.
Yeah.
Mike Brown can work with what he saw today. You know, Gino Gadulli can work with what he saw today. Joe Rudolph can absolutely work with what he saw today, even though his group probably lost more than any other group on the team, got beat today more than any other group on the team. I'm encouraged by it. Again, I've never been a huge Joe Rudolph apologist. I could use today if I wanted to be like, oh, see, he wasn't. No, I was encouraged by what I saw from his unit today because you know what? They battled. What was the biggest complaint we had about the offensive line last year when they didn't play well? They didn't compete today. They got their butts physically kicked by Louisville, and they looked like they didn't want to be out there.
Yeah.
They did not. Same thing against Duke. Same thing against Clemson in certain instances. Today, they just got beat by older players and just guys that were just better than they were today. But they battled. And that's encouraging for me, Sean. They battled. In practice, that's a good place to be.
If they battle, this offense will put up points.
Yes.
What do we say? The offensive line for over a decade has had the most pressure on it as a unit with this program. If the offensive line didn't play good in the big game, Notre Dame didn't have a chance.
No, and including 2023.
Absolutely. It didn't have a chance. Yep. Now, it's actually ironic that one of the most inexperienced offensive lines that's going to start in Notre Dame history is probably going to have the quarterback play and the weapons to assist them as they get better and become, because they're going to get better. They're too talented not to get better.
That's a great observation, Sean. It's
really ironic.
What you're saying is they don't have to be a Joe Moore award-winning offensive line every week like they have in the past, as long as they battle.
Yeah.
Because if they compete, like here's what we mean by that. And I know exactly what's in your head, Sean, right now, because we've talked about this. I promise you this is kind of what you're thinking about. You're thinking about a situation in the game where it's 3rd and 5 late in the game, and the other team brings a pressure, and the offensive line gets knocked back. They you know, get out late on the edge, and it doesn't look pretty. But as long as they compete, they're going to do what? They're going to get a body on a body, and Riley Leonard's going to find that hole. He's going to run through it and move the chains to pick up the first down. And as an offensive line coach, you're going to say, you got to move your feet better there. You didn't use your hands well enough there. You've got to get, you know, Jarls, you got to get to that edge quicker, and you can't give that edge like that. But you're going to look at it and say, but on that next play on 1st and 10, we did a good job because we got good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the point. But what was happening to Sam Hartman last year is dudes weren't even competing. I mean, they were just getting driven like on skates right into the quarterback consistently. Like, they didn't want to be here today. They don't have toughness today. And there was nothing Sam Hartman could do about it. It's like, okay, what am I going to do about it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm 6 feet tall and I weigh 200 pounds and I don't run. You know what I mean? That's the thing, is like the compete level is there. And to your point, as long as you get a body on a body, guys, then just let Jadarian and Jeremiah go to work.
Do that work.
Just compete.
Yeah.
And so you, and Joe Rudolph will clean up that other stuff. So I was actually, you know, specifically speaking about the line, I thought Charles Jagasaw, if you could take that one series out, I thought he had a pretty good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but you can't take that one series out. And that's the part of being a young player is you can't have that couple plays where you just didn't show the same urgency getting out of your stance. That's really what it was on the one he got beat by Boubacar. He didn't get out of his stance with the same urgency he has to. And Boubacar just exploded past him. And, I mean, just easy sack. It's that consistency level. Tosh has got to be more consistent with his pad level. Mm-hmm. I thought the inside guys with the first group played better at center and right guard. Pat Coogan just kind of had the same issues he's had in the past, which is he's a tough kid. He battles. But there's just other guys that are just better than he is, and they kind of toss him around at times. I mean,
What you talked about early – we can go to Sullivan Apture. Somebody, you and I, towards the end of practice, we were like, yo, is that 75 getting that push around the left side? But that first series he came out, like Riley Mills and Howard Cross, they were just dominating that first series when they had to face the ones. But that's that level of competition. Like, just compete, respond, come back, right? Because as much as you want to talk about how the defense played today, that offensive line allowed the offense the ability to make plays and be in position. We don't know if that last drive, like you said, turns into a touchdown. With the defense dominating, the score could have read offense one on the scoreboard.
Right.
With everyone saying it looked like the defense. And that is, you know, big-time programs are able to win games somehow, some way, when they're not playing at their best. And you can't put pressure on one unit to have to be at their best every time you go into a big game. Mm-hmm. Every time you, if the offensive line doesn't play well, we don't have a chance to win. No one puts that pressure on that offensive line. No one. Because it's impossible. It's just impossible when you're going up against other teams, right? I think the Michigan-Alabama game in the Rose Bowl is a perfect example. That was just literally play-by-play. Within series,
right.
Michigan D-line would win. Alabama's right. offensive line would win. Michigan D-line would respond. That is big-time college football yep. against top teams. That's how it's going to be.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Now, when you look at the line, two takeaways from today. You've got to handle edge pressures better. There were multiple times today a blitzer off the edge, whether it be a linebacker or a rover, came free untouched.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's going to have to get addressed. Now, what I don't know, because I don't have film of the All-22, is I don't know if it was an empty protection where the quarterback should have thrown hot, or if the linebacker should have, or running back should have got out there, or if they should have checked to a slide in that direction. I don't know the specifics of why, but that's something that if you're Mike Denbrock and Joe Rudolph specifically, that hurt you multiple times today. Just pure edge rushers were not a defensive lineman, but somebody – linebacker, somebody else just was completely unblocked.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have to get corrected. So here's the other thing. Andrew Gilmore does not understand the point you made earlier, Sean. I know you're shocked by that.
No, he just contrarian.
Andrew,
to it at this point.
You're making Sean's point. The point Sean made was when the offensive line didn't play well, they didn't win. So you disagreeing and saying they let them down in 21 and 22 in certain games is making the point. When the offensive line didn't play well in the past, Notre Dame lost. That's the point. The point that Sean's making now is we're seeing a team that has the potential because of the playmakers at quarterback, receiver, running back to where the offensive line doesn't necessarily always have to be an elite unit for this team to win. That's the point. So it's funny watching someone disagree with you and then literally make the point you're making about the group. That's the point. The offensive line didn't always play well. The problem was when they didn't play well, the team couldn't win. Why did the offense struggle so much in 2021? Because the offensive line didn't play very well a lot of the times. And when they didn't, the offense struggled. That's the point. Because they didn't have enough overall talent or a scheme in place or an identity in place to where they could still go out and battle enough up front and then have the skill talent at outside and at quarterback to then go still win games. It was completely dictated by how the offensive line played. And that's the point that Sean is making.
I think, I don't want to say it was fraudulent, but I think a perfect example to what we're talking about is the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line from last season.
Talking about Washington? I still don't understand that one.
Their quarterback play and their talent
and their scheme
on the outside and scheme made them look phenomenal. You talk about, though, they didn't give up sacks. They have a quarterback that's like pre-snap, post-snap, knows where to go, and there's no doubt in big moments where they're going.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to Odunze on a big third down, on a big fourth and one. It's like
– Right, and they know how to scheme those guys
over. They know how to scheme, and the run game plays off of them spreading you out, like everything.
And I'm not saying they – And when they played a defense in the championship game that could somewhat slow those receivers down –
They
couldn't. The offensive line couldn't put the team on their shoulders.
No. And they couldn't keep Michael Penix from feeling pressure on a consistent basis.
Couldn't do it.
And
they also didn't have a defense that could make stops either. And that's the thing that's the whole point is you can't have one side of the ball or one position group be so dependent upon if they don't play well, you can't win. That you can't have that. And that's the point of what we're discussing. I'm going to move on to the receivers and the skill players. No.
But just to like put a nice little bow on that, with all of that being said, Michael Penix still had 2 to 3 opportunities that could have changed that game.
That's right. You got to make those plays.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're talking about. If the offensive line, Notre Dame's offense is still, the quarterbacks will still have opportunities to put points on the board. And that is something that we haven't felt with an offense in a while.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the skill players, Sean, that played well today. First of all, I'm going to say this right now. I hope Salty Virginia Peanuts is in the chat right now. I don't think that he is because I haven't seen him post today. So we did our best to kind of track statistics during the game. So, you know, it was me, Sean Stiers, and Sean Davis. And what I had Jaden Greathouse down today, Sean, is I had him down for 4 catches for 82 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He should have had at least 100 more yards if the quarterbacks would have noticed him. He was really good today, Sean. And it started early. So we're tracking the first series, first team offense, right? And they ran an outside zone on play one, ran a couple quick game on play 2 and 3. And then they get into a situation where it's 1st and 15 and they run the slot fade concept to and Angeli hits Cooper Flanagan on a quick option cut is number 3 guy. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is why you got to be on the message board, because I did a 35-minute breakdown of the slot fade concept, which is going to be the bread and butter for Notre Dame. I'm not giving anything away, because anyone that's watched Mike Denbrock's offense the last 5 years knows that's going to be their number 1 play. And what do I have written down in my notes? 19 wide open on the fade. He just torched a linebacker on the fade, wide fade throw. Then I have another little quick completion to Chris Mitchell. And then 3rd down, they threw an outside go route to Micah Gilbert that was incomplete. and I have 19 open up the seam. And it was just all day. I mean, they could not cover Jaden Greathouse today. And this is a secondary that was ranked in the top five in college football last year in pass defense. This is a secondary that shut down Marvin Harrison Jr., right? This is a secondary that shut down USC's pass game last year, right? I mean, this is a really good secondary. And Jaden Greathouse was just dynamic today. And he was doing it in different ways. You know, he's getting his ability today to get immediate separation as a route runner was really impressive. You know, you see him coming off the line and the way he attacks the leverage of the defender, it's like they don't – is this an – because, like, you want to have the three-way go option as a receiver. And what I mean by that is if I'm attacking a receiver – hey, look, we're talking specifics. If I'm attacking you as a defensive back, I need to, as best I can, keep the ability to go three ways, which is left, right, or vertical. And if you're playing outside of me and all I do is release easily inside of you – I can go vertical or inside, but I can no longer threaten you in the third way, which is outside, you know, to the right. So it's inside, outside, go.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want to do is attack in a way to where I can still maintain where I have now threatened you where you don't want me to threaten you. So if I'm playing inside coverage against a guy, then I'm doing what? I'm protecting my inside. I want you to go outside where I have safety help or I have the sideline to help. Or I have a flat defender coming out to protect or something like that, right? Jaden did such a good job today of attacking using his stem to attack the leverage of the defenders where he could keep the three-way go option open. And then that allowed him to, when he did make his cut, and his suddenness out of breaks was exceptional today. And it has been all spring, Sean. I mean, he's the first guy I talk about, I think, in every practice report I put up. Like, Jaden Greathouse is that guy. He's that guy. He's that guy. And we saw it today. Whether it was, I mean, his first catch of the day, I believe, was on a option throw.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, let me pull this up here real quick. So I actually have these scanned down by player target. Yeah, his first catch today was a little quick option route, just a little quick over the middle, caught the ball 5-6 yards down the field, makes the guy miss, gets vertical for 30 yards, right? 30 yard gain for the great job quarterback, 30 yard gain, but it was really Jaden Greathouse just finding that opening, making a play, getting free, and getting vertical for a big play. Very next play, they come back and run their cross-out concept. Again, I'm not giving away secrets. Anyone that watches Mike Denbrock's offense knows what this is. And Angeli makes the good read because it's basically what happens is you're going to have a pass concept to the left and a 2x2 concept to the right. But the 2x2 concept to the right is actually not together. The cross is actually going to work over to the other side where he's going to be part of the read over here. The outcut is a one-on-one read. If they line up like this, I'm banging the outcut. Steve made a good read on it, threw it immediately to Jaden. Jaden catches it. It was good timing by Steve. Again, it was one of his better reads of the day. Got the ball out quick. It's a one-on-run read. There's no post-snap read. It's other than if they show something different post-snap, you go away from it. But as long as they stay with what you did, corner pedals, Jaden snaps that outcut. But he snapped the outcut so quick. He pushed the vertical so hard that the corner kept sinking, and he just snapped the outcut off outside. Steve threw it on time. He allowed Jaden to catch it, square up, get vertical for an 18-yard gain, right? I mean, you just saw that constantly. There was another play where he just outran a safety to the other side of the field, and that was the one where he threw his hand up like, dude, I'm open, mm-hmm. And he probably should have had three touchdowns. He didn't have any. He should have had three touchdowns today. And we saw them moving him all over. He was sharp today, Sean. Athletic, yeah. Fast. But stronger, but just such a great command of the offense. Like, he has picked up Mike Denbrock's offense very quickly. Like, he does not look like a true sophomore for Notre Dame right now at all from what we saw today at all.
Yeah, I think Mike Denbrock early identified, like, oh, he's going to be one of those guys. He's one of the guys I'm going to build this. I think he's identified Greathouse. I think he's identified Jeremiah Love. I think it's some guys in the offense that he's already identified, like, okay, I think Cam Williams has been, you can just tell, and I think you can tell with the comfort level that the quarterbacks have with certain guys as well, like looking for them, you know, on their reads. Jaden Greathouse, man, along with Chris Mitchell, too. And like you said, Faison and Collins aren't even
right
around.
Neither Jaden Thomas wasn't there today. Right. Exactly. Jaden Harrison wasn't there today.
Exactly. He was out. And Jaden Harrison was having a fantastic spring.
right,
in the slot. So, I mean, you come out four wide and you had Great House and Jaden Harrison in the slot. Man, if I'm a safety, I'm probably back at 20 yards. Like, let me back up a little bit because I don't know what's about to happen. It is really good to see this young man, first of all, be healthy.
Yeah.
And he looks a lot leaner, a lot stronger. Faster. Absolutely.
He had a little bit of baby fat on him last year.
Yeah.
Now he looks like a man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked really good today. And and you know, the other thing I noticed from him today too, Sean, is there's a lot, does a lot of talking. And I'm not talking about trash talking. I'm talking about pre-snap communicating to other receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, there was one play where the quarterback made a check. Jaden heard it. He immediately starts getting lined up. He immediately looks over and is telling the other receivers, hey, here's what we're doing, right? He's getting that communication. So you're seeing more of that as well from him today too, John. And there was one particular play where he noticed, hey, I need to be lined up on the ball, or somebody needs to be lined up, and he's getting people moved around. So you're seeing that from him today as well, Sean. That's part of that command of the offense that we're talking about. It's not just, hey, I know how to run routes, but like, you've got to know all of it. I've got to know what I'm running a route against. I've always said this to my receivers. They would when I first got into coaching, to see, you know, like, hey, I play this position. Why are you having me learn that? I said, because if you don't know what the other guys are doing, you can't really truly know how you're supposed to do your job.
Yeah.
Right. And so to me, you know, that's kind of what I liked what I saw from him today. And he's going to be a good one. And here's the thing. I could be overreacting to today's practice, Sean, if we hadn't seen this from him all spring. I mean, he's the first guy in every drill. He's just a kid that's going out there and making a ton of plays. And he stood out to me today. He was very good today. You know who else I thought was – he only had one catch for 10 yards. But I thought K.K. Smith looked really good today.
Yeah.
He should have had at least two more catches. And the thing I like, too, is he catches the ball and he's real quick with the ball in his hands. He is a difference maker. But he had a post route. Let me see who was the – let me find the particular. It was who was the quarterback on that play?
Yeah, was it Angel? It was that
Kenny.
Mister? Oh, it was Kenny.
It was
okay.
Kenny.
Yeah,
it was on a play where Kenny scrambled
for like 11.
Kenny's got to see that. That was one where he scrambled late, and it was actually a really good play by Kenny to scramble. But he's got to see that right now.
Yeah.
But he had smoked a corner for what would have been a touchdown, and he's got to hit the top of his drop, know he's going to get hit, and let that sucker go. And if he does, that's a touchdown for K.K. Smith. I thought K.K. looked really good today. And he played inside and outside today.
Yeah,
I thought he had a really good day today. I thought that Cam Williams showed today the two sides of Cam Williams. There's the side that's still young, that still has to learn. One of the big mistakes he made today is going up against a walk-on corner. He has the guy smoked, ball's on time, but he doesn't, you know, you have the end zone there. He doesn't make a play for the ball.
He tried the one-handed.
Yeah. And he didn't need to be there. And, yeah. And you know, there's things but he also showed he can be a playmaker. He had five catches for 62 yards, according to our stats today. And he showed like there, he made plays on stop routes, hitch routes, go routes. I mean, Cam, he smoked a guy on a Chance Tucker, a scholarship guy on a post route for a touchdown. And that's the thing where you're like, if you're Mike Brown, you're like, look, there's a lot I got to clean up with Cam. But this stuff that he does well is really good. You know, this is practice 11 for Cam Williams in a Notre Dame uniform. He's going to figure it out. I thought Micah Gilbert had a rough day today. He's had a very good spring. He didn't play that great today.
Yeah.
Right? But sometimes I feel like days like today are good for Micah Gilbert because he was with he was starting at X today. He was the starting boundary receiver today. I thought he struggled. There was a play where he was going against Christian Gray, and it was good coverage, not great coverage, but good coverage. The quarterback puts the ball in a place where both guys have a shot at it. Christian outplayed him for the ball. Micah, you got to do a better job out. He's never played against anybody as good as Christian Gray in his life.
Yeah.
That's part of the learning process. And sometimes days like today, because Micah Gilbert has had a great spring so far, just a great spring so far. Sometimes you need days like today, Sean, where you don't play that well, to say, okay, I'm still a work in progress. Because sometimes success can come at you so quickly that you're like, this is easy. You know what I mean? Like, I thought college would be harder. And then a day like today happens, you're like, yep, had a little bit of humble pie today for lunch. And I got to get back in the lab and keep working to keep getting better. So I think days like today are going to be great for both Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert. But here's the thing that they both showed today, Sean. I'll be honest with you about it. These kids physically are ready to play right now. Meaning not physically, not just strong enough, but also physically, like their athleticism, their length, and their speed is they're college ready now. And they both showed that they have playmaking ability. Cam showed it today. Micah has shown it at other periods in the spring. And boy, I tell you what, man, it's still a lot to learn, but so far, those look like hits from a recruiting standpoint for Notre Dame. So does KK Smith, by the way.
Yeah.
He had two offers from Power Five schools, Texas Tech and Notre Dame. So props to Chad Bowden for seeing that one and going and getting that kid. Because that kid, if he sticks around, and I say this for all the kids, if KK sticks around, he's going to be a player at Notre Dame.
Yep.
That kid can play. I could see him being what Chris Mitchell is this year. I could see Notre Dame easily going into next year saying, we don't need to go to the portal for another X or Z receiver. We got KK.
KK.
I mean, so
it's nice to see an offensive staff acknowledge the talent. So that you're saying they're not waiting for Micah and Cam to learn the entire route tree before they get on the field?
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll
see in the fall, right? They're still going to have to do it in the fall. That's going to be obviously a part of it. But for now, I mean, like you said, you saw Micah Gilbert out there today with the ones. Now, would he have been with the ones if Jaden Thomas was healthy? Probably not. You know, but he was in there with the ones over Deion Colsey. So clearly they're seeing something. So, but you know, today he was not a great day for Micah Gilbert. And sometimes I think that can be a good thing because success was coming to that young man real fast this spring, Sean, and it was earned. And now he's going to have to get back at it at receiver, you know, at that position. So, other things, a receiver. I mean, I didn't. We talked about KK. I think we've kind of handled all that. You ready to do a deep dive into the quarterback room?
Yeah, let's do it.
One of the plays of the day was Jeremiah Love running over Adon Shuler. By the way, Adon had come downhill, and Adon was thinking Jeremiah was going to make some kind of move on him. And Jeremiah said, yeah, my move is to run right through you. So I thought Aeneas Williams ran well today.
Very hard.
A lot of room to run, but he put his foot in the ground and ran hard. And one of the best reads of the day, talking about quarterbacks, was a run to him. It was a 3rd and 5, and they were bringing outside pressure. And Kenny completely checked out of whatever call they had, brought guys in, and they just ran inside zone right inside. They were bringing a double outside blitz. And Kenny called inside zone, and they ran right inside of it and got right near the first down marker. So that was a really nice play as well. I thought Jadarian ran well today. He didn't get a ton of touch. He ran well today. He was actually the back that had the most efficient runs. He just didn't have any highlight reel runs today. But he was the most efficient runner today, Jadarian was. But I thought Aeneas ran hard. So we did see the tight ends, or I mean the running backs today play well.
And tight ends. But they put Jeremiah Love out in space in 21.
In the slot. Yep.
For an entire series.
Yep.
Very effective, yeah.
Tight ends caught 5 balls today. So for those worried about, you know, how often they'll throw to the tight ends, they caught 5 balls today. Most of it kind of quick game stuff. There was a couple opportunities where they could have gotten more, but we'll get into a little bit of that.